be committed to so many, 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 is this a Halloween prank a couple days late or something? Right. Whew, okay. Right. They're having fun back there. All right. But anyway, the world requires us. Is this thing on? Okay. Right now, just committed to getting the microphone on. There we go. But the world requires us to be committed to so much. Our jobs, our families, hobbies, sports. Where are we in our walk with Christ? We have to decide what we're going to be committed to. It takes us some time to set our priorities. What's our priorities? What's the priority in my family? What's the priority in my life? What's the priority for us as a church? Who in here likes to suffer? No hands go up. Right. We don't like to suffer. But you know, when you look back through history, and you don't have to look that far, we see people every day suffering because they believe in Jesus. We see people even lose their physical lives because of the cross. Several years ago, ISIS executed 4 children because they wouldn't convert to Islam. The children were put in a room, and the ISIS soldier asked them, he said, "Say the words, you will follow Muhammad." And the children, all of them under the age of 15, refused. They even told the soldiers, "We believe in God." And since they wouldn't say the words, they were killed because of their obedience to Jesus. You see, these were children who had their whole lives ahead of them, but they were all in for Jesus. The thought of suffering isn't something we look forward to. There'd be something wrong with us if we did. But it is a part of our walk as we are in an imperfect world. And there will be times when we have to decide just how sold out we are for Jesus. Are we committed to suffering for the gospel? When we speak of suffering for the gospel, it's about whether or not we're all in for Jesus. It's about having enough conviction in our faith to not cause or allow anyone or anything to make us walk away. So how do we do this in a world that makes it so difficult? Because it's a fight. We struggle as believers. Well, first of all, we have to keep our focus on Jesus and Jesus alone. I want us to look at some principles that Paul shares with the young preacher Timothy. Timothy is a very young preacher, and Paul's trying to help encourage him and trying to help him keep on in the faith, even though he would face a lot of uncomfortable circumstances, even though he would face a lot of suffering and problems. And Paul writes to Timothy as he mentors him. He writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. He says, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel." You see, Jesus came to show us the way, didn't he? And we read in Scripture time and time again, Jesus says, "Come after me," or "Come follow me." And we see Jesus doing examples that he wants us to follow. You remember several weeks ago we talked about Jesus washing the disciples' feet and how nasty that would be, especially in that culture. It's not much better in today's culture either, is it? But we see Jesus doing the ultimate service in the most humble way. Jesus didn't just bark out orders and sit by and watch, but he was on the front lines of service. He even said himself in Matthew 20, verse 28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's our Lord, church. That is our Savior. And how do we keep going in the midst of suffering? We got to keep our focus on him. On many occasions, Jesus would talk about the fact that he was going to suffer in order to carry out his mission. Steve read for us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you," Paul says, "and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church." Paul, who wrote to Timothy, he suffered, he followed Jesus to the very end. And he reminds Timothy and he reminds us of some facts. First of all, he reminds him that Jesus rose from the dead. And we know this, and we talk about this weekly, and hopefully we think about this daily, maybe many times a day. But just stop for a moment and think about the miraculous nature of that and how God showed his power by bringing his son back from the dead. And you see that and you think, this is God putting his stamp of approval on the whole mission of Jesus. The same God that rose Jesus from the dead is the same God, Paul says, who will empower you, Timothy, to keep on even in the midst of struggling. And he says that to us today. If you're struggling in your walk, which we all do from time to time, maybe a lot of times, Paul is telling us, God's word is telling us, keep going, because the same God you serve today is the same God who raised Jesus from the dead. Paul also reminds Timothy of Jesus' incarnation. Jesus came in the flesh as a descendant of David. Jesus led the way, and his example service and love and sacrifice, that can help us remain faithful no matter what hits us. We also know that we can keep going in the face of struggling. We can be committed to struggling for the gospel when we appreciate the power of God's word. Do you believe God's word is powerful? If you believe God's word is powerful, say amen. Amen. God's word is powerful. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, Paul, again, as he writes to Timothy, says, "For which I am in suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained." I love that, church. No matter what happens on this earth, God's word is not chained. I might be in chains. You might be in chains, literally or figuratively, but God's word is not in chains. Have you ever had to deliver a difficult message to somebody? And you say, don't shoot the messenger, right? I got something to tell you, but don't shoot the messenger. In my job as an attorney, I got to do that all the time. I got to tell my clients the good news. Also got to tell them the bad news. And I got to say, hey, sometimes it's the judge. Sometimes it's the insurance company. Sometimes it's a witness. But I got to say, listen, got some bad news, but don't shoot the messenger. We do that a lot. Paul was a messenger for the gospel of Jesus Christ in a very profound way. And plenty of people figuratively shot at him. He suffered a lot of hardship because he was preaching Jesus. But you know what? Paul didn't stop, did he? Paul kept going. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. Here's what Paul says. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. Wow. Anybody ever been through anything like that? All that together? That's what Paul went through. And this is just a small taste of what he endured. There's a lot more. But the gospel message was not stopped. Even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of the struggle, the word can still do its work. Paul's bound in chains, but the gospel is not. You see, in Roman jails, when the Romans didn't want their prisoners to escape, they would chain the guards to them. And so a prisoner would actually be chained side by side with a guard. And the guards would then rotate shifts being chained to these prisoners. And Paul shared the gospel with the soldiers, didn't he? What's the point? The point is nothing has the power to stop the gospel. Paul was in a dark place, in a deep dungeon, chained to a prison guard, to a soldier. But even in the midst of that darkness, God's word was still at work. So apply that to our lives. Maybe you're in darkness right now. Maybe you've been in darkness recently. Maybe there's darkness ahead. No matter what we go through, no matter what circumstances we face, the gospel is still at work. And ask yourself this question in your darkness. Who can I share Jesus with right here? You see, deep dark in that dungeon, in that prison, chained to a guard, Paul could have said, I'm not saying a word to anybody. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm locked up. I'm in chains. But he didn't. He kept preaching the message. What difference can you make in your darkness today? Romans 1:16 tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." When we suffer for the gospel, we're not just suffering for something that doesn't matter, but our suffering can produce fruit as we teach people about Jesus. So as we are committed to suffering for the gospel, remember God's word is powerful. Also, you got to know the purpose of your mission. We also keep going in the face of struggles when we know the purpose of our mission. 2 Timothy 2:10, Paul writes, "Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Why did Paul keep going when he was locked up, when he was shipwrecked, when he was in the open sea? He understood the purpose of what he was doing. Knowing the purpose behind what you're about to do is a great motivator to keep on doing it, right? Those of you in sports, why do you practice? So you can win, right? That's your purpose. That's your mission. That's why you do the things you do. When I was in school, I ran a crazy busy schedule. I did college and school in just 5 years, so I went year-round. I constantly worked. I even held down a job. And I look back and I think, that wasn't much fun. In fact, it wasn't any fun at all because I was always working. I missed out on doing a lot of things. I burned the candles at both ends and in the middle. And there were a few times that I thought about quitting. I thought about giving up because it wasn't much fun. It was hard. But I had my purpose in mind. I knew this is what I was supposed to do, or at least believed it was. And we all have examples of things in our lives, goals that we set, and the sacrifices we were willing to make to get to that point. And when a hardship comes in, we endure that hardship because we know the purpose of our mission, whatever it is. Paul was able to face all these hardships because he understood the purpose of his mission. He knew the eternal lives of other people were at stake. And we know that too, don't we, church? Numerous people would quit after they'd suffered some of the things Paul suffered. I think one shipwreck would have been enough for me. How about you guys, right? One night in prison would have been enough. Being lost in the open sea, I can't even comprehend what that would be like, right? But he endured it because he understood his mission. The word endure denotes patience under trial. Also, it casts the picture of a soldier who's faithful at his post, doing whatever he needs to do for the mission. God wants us to stay strong, especially in the face of adversity. We know the importance of what we're called to do. We can be motivated to stand up and face these things. You know, Jesus did what he did on the cross so we could have eternal life. Jesus did what he did on the cross so that we could come here and say, even in the midst of struggles and pain and hardship, today is a fine day. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Those who are holy and blameless are those who have accepted the call to follow and be obedient to Jesus. And if we don't take the message to others, how are they going to hear? How will they know? Romans 10, 14 and 15 says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." This job that God has given us is important. Lives are at stake. When we know our purpose, it helps us keep going when we face those struggles that always come our way. And also, we keep going. We can be committed to suffering for the gospel when we learn to take God's promises seriously. Do y'all like promises? You like promises? What about when they don't go through? That's not so good, right? A promise that's fulfilled is wonderful. I've got a lot to learn about being a parent, but I've learned, be careful in the promises you make, right? Because they don't forget anything, right? But we like promises when they're followed. God makes us promises, and they are blessings, and they are what keep us going when the world says give up. 2 Timothy 2, 11 through 13, Paul continues to write, and he tells Timothy, Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. This starts off with, this is a trustworthy saying. So do you think it's important? Absolutely. It's like the bold and the italics and the big font if you were typing something that's important. It's the all caps on Facebook, right? These trustworthy sayings were out there and people memorized them because, you know, back in this time frame, they didn't have the bound book we all have as the Bible. So certain scriptures and certain sayings would be memorized so that one could witness to another person. And this is part of that. And this statement deals with the faithfulness of Jesus. We're told if we die with him, we will also live with him. This refers to the dying to self that happens when we're baptized and the dying to self that happens every day from that standpoint, from that point forward that we read about. Verse 12 tells us, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Have you thought much about that? You know, we think about eternal life. We think about the mansion over the hilltop. We think about the streets of gold that the biblical authors tell us about. All these things, and we kind of have in our own minds what heaven's going to be like. But have you ever thought about what you're going to be doing when you're there? We're not just going to be hanging out as a wallflower or sitting there bored or playing on our cell phones, right? We will be reigning with Jesus. Amen? That's a big deal, church. We don't just have the ability to show up and be somewhere forever that's nice, like a nice hotel. We have the ability, if we remain faithful, to reign with Jesus. I don't know of any promise bigger than that. That's better than being in the royal family, isn't it? We also see this as a very special promise. But then Paul goes on. And he also tells us, if we deny Jesus, he will also deny us. And Jesus himself tells us in Matthew 10:33, but whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father who is in heaven. Here's the punchline of 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he can't deny himself. And sometimes people look at this and they say, well, this shows that Jesus will still reward us even when we're not faithful. But I don't believe that's what it's saying. It says since Jesus is faithful, he cannot make exceptions that violate his character. He can't deny himself, right? So those who remain in a state of faithlessness will not receive the promises of reigning with Jesus, but instead will receive what those who reject Jesus receives, which is lost for eternity in hell. When we abandon opportunities to spread the gospel, when we fail to endure, when we give up, that puts us in a faithlessness category. And just as Jesus cannot act as though faithlessness and faithfulness are the same, Jesus has to act in harmony with his holy character. We want to remember his promises, church, because there's going to be times in this life when we are faithful, and there's going to be times in this life when we're faithless. But that's why Jesus died. We can't be perfect. Amen? We're going to mess up. We need his grace. But when we get in the midst of struggles, and I'm not just talking about one struggle. You might be going through a struggle and you're dealing okay with it, and then something else comes in and snowballs it, and it can look like a giant snowball going down a hill. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Yeah, we've been there, right? The world says give up, quit. Satan says walk away. Jesus says, if you endure, you will reign with me. Stay faithful. Be committed to staying faithful, even as you struggle for the gospel. And also, we stay committed in suffering for the gospel by joyfully presenting ourselves to God. Paul continues in 2 Timothy 2:14-15. He tells Timothy, keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Paul's reminding Timothy to keep reminding people of all these things. And he speaks of getting caught up in word battles. Do we ever get caught up in word battles? I do sometimes, right? It doesn't mean that. It can't mean that. We justify things. We get wrapped up over semantics. The Jewish Gnostics would give certain definitions to biblical words and phrases, and they would claim that it was based on how they would interpret this, that their practices were similar to what was required in the law. And they would even go so far as to argue that what they were doing was what Jesus wanted them to do. And that didn't stop with the Jewish Gnostics, right? We still do that sometimes today. Maybe we sprinkle enough scripture into what we do so it makes what we are doing appear Christian. 2 Timothy 2:18 speaks of an issue that's happening. Paul tells Timothy, don't waste your time on these battles. But instead, Timothy, focus on presenting yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. How do we do this? Well, in part, we do it by teaching the word of truth. To present yourself to someone else, you do that to gain their approval, right? Kids do this all the time. They bring you what they drew, and they want you to praise them for it. Here's what I did, and this is what I drew you. I love Thierry's drawings. They're wonderful, right? Our pets do this. They bring a dead, mangled animal, and they lay it at the doorstep, right? Because they want to show us, hey, Mom and Dad, I did this for you, right? We understand what it means to present ourselves for approval. To be approved means you've been tried and tested, and you came out real. You came out genuine. A workman who is not ashamed is a workman who has done quality work. I can assure you, if I were to build something for you, I would be ashamed of the final outcome because I can't build stuff, right? If I were to try to work on something that's broken, I would ultimately suffer great shame when I brought it back to you because it wouldn't work, right? It's not what I do. But a workman who is not ashamed is a workman who has done the job right. It's when Gary Hanley builds something and brings it to you, right? It's when Johnny fixes something and it works. And so many others in here have that ability, and I'm thankful for it. When a person asks for directions, do you usually give them the easiest way to get there? Who in here gives them the hard scenic route? You don't do that, right? Maybe Amy does. Maybe they were looking for that, right? Our phones, they give us the path of least resistance to our destination when we put in an address. It maps us around heavy traffic. It gives us the easiest route most of the time. Mine never does, but most of y'all do probably. When we correctly teach the word of truth, we do the same thing. We strive to teach a spiritual traveler how to get to where they need to be as quickly and as easiest as possible. We don't strive to confuse them with twists and turns and opinions and traditions and things that aren't Bible. We don't want our spiritual travelers to get lost in a fog that our confusion has created. But we show them, when we're preaching the truth, the easiest, simplest way to get there based on God's word. And then we can joyfully present ourselves to God. And that helps us keep going when the struggle is real. Feel like giving up. You know, suffering is never fun. Suffering is always painful in some respects. And there are still people today suffering with their physical lives because they believe in Jesus. The next time we're tempted to back off or throw in the towel because of a struggle, remember those kids in Iraq who stared evil in the eye and didn't back down. They're a lot better off today than any of us are, church. Remember that. They told evil to take a hike because they followed God. We can never give up. We can never give in no matter what. How do we endure when suffering happens? We endure by keeping our focus on Jesus, by appreciating the power of God's word, by knowing the purpose of our mission, by trusting God's promises, and by joyfully presenting ourselves to God as people who have done the best we can to handle his truth. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, Let us help you with that. You know, being committed to the gospel doesn't sound like fun, and it's not. But when we do endure, we are blessed. And church, that is fun. And you know what else is fun? It's fun to know that when this life is over, we got a home in heaven forever, where we don't just hang out, but we reign with Christ. Don't miss the forest for the trees. That's our biggest takeaway this morning. Don't miss the forest for the trees. Don't let the temporary struggles rob you of the eternal future God has planned for you. You know, this life is not so much about the here and now, but it's about the life we get to live with God in heaven forever. Come to Jesus, repent and be baptized into Him. Have your sins washed away, where you come up out of that water a brand new creature, a person who's washed, a person who has God's Spirit dwelling in you. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, far from it, but you have that blood that continually cleanses you. If you've taken that step but you've lost your way, you failed to be committed, come home. We know from the prodigal son and so many other scriptures, God always welcomes us home, no matter what we've done. That's the God we serve. If there's anyone here this morning who has a need, we want to invite you to come now as we stand and sing.